Tonight we're on the subject, when Jesus healed a man but cursed a village. When Jesus healed a man but cursed a village. Mark chapter 8, please, beginning to read at verse 22. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch them, And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that those of us who know your Son as our Savior can sing, Jesus, I believe in you. I belong to you. And Lord, you are the reason that we live this evening. Thank you for life and health and strength and breath. We thank you for opportunity. And we thank you for the people that you've brought this evening. For the children who will, Lord, practice in the down in the polytunnel. Lord, we pray your blessing on them and the leaders and teachers there. We thank you, Father, for ministry and all those, Lord, who are here and who labor and put their hand to the plow, Lord. And Lord, add themselves to the work of God here in this part of this vineyard. Now, Father, we pray that this evening you would shut us in with yourself, for Lord, we have different needs, physical, spiritual, mental. Lord, whatever it may be, we pray that you would touch and heal and strengthen and bless, Lord, each and every person that has come this evening. We pray that you'd glorify your Son, and Lord, if there is one that's not yet come to a saving knowledge of you and is far away from you, we pray, O God, tonight that you would draw them. By the power of your Spirit through your word, draw them to Christ, we ask it. Remember those who are sick, Lord. So many to mention, Lord, with coughs and flus. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you would touch them and help them and strengthen them wherever they are tonight. Glorify your name. And Lord, as we exalt your Son, would you help us tonight? We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord Jesus has come to a small town, a fishing village on the west shore of the Lake of Gennesaret, or part of Galilee. And it was lovely, fertile region off the area. And it was near to the home of the disciples such as Andrew and Peter and James and John and Matthew and Philip. In fact, almost all of them came from around that area, bar one, possibly Judas Iscariot. And here in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, it says in verse 22, starting us off in our reading this evening, and he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. Now, Bethsaida means house of fish. House of fish. And so the villages and the area was known for their fishing, for their boats, for their nets, for their sailing upon the Sea of Galilee. And what a better place than this to fulfill that which he had spoken of when he said in time past to Jeremiah the prophet in Jeremiah chapter 16 and in verses 16 and 17. Listen to the word of the Lord. Behold, I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord. And they shall fish them. And after I will send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and from every hill out of the holes of the rocks. For mine eyes are upon all their ways. They are not hidden from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes. The Lord, away hundreds of years previous, had said to those who were scattered Israel, he would send fishers And he would send hunters, fishers over the sea, hunters over the land to reach his own people. And of course, in our reading here, he comes in person to Bethsaida, the house of fish, with his disciples who were fishermen. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, if you will flick over with me, please, and verse 16. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 16, it says, "And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee," note that down, "he walked by the Sea of Galilee," yet in Mark 6, in a storm, he walks upon the Sea of Galilee. He walks by here, and then in Mark 6, he walks upon the Sea of Galilee. "And as he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught." Take note, the Lord Jesus comes along the shore of Galilee, and he finds Peter and Andrew and James and John. Two are casting their nets, two are mending their nets. Do you know what is lovely about this? What is absolutely wonderful is that the Holy Spirit would even put it into the pen, man, to write about whether they were mending nets or whether they were casting nets. You and I might say they were just fishermen sitting in boats, or they were just fishermen a little offshore. But the Holy Spirit has it there were those who were casting nets and those who were mending nets. It lets me know tonight that God is interested in the intricate details of our lives. That God is interested in what we see and what we take into our lives. God is interested in what we know about the Word of God in our lives. And God is interested in you tonight. Even when we think others aren't, God is always invested in our lives. These men were fishermen. And Jesus said, if you come after me, he says, I will make you to become fishers of men. And hence, what did they do? They were fulfilling Jeremiah 16 and verse 16. And hence in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, and verse 22, listen to what it says. "And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him." Now there's something about this healing. And I want to look at other places to do with healing as well, just before we go much further. But the word to touch him, would you say touch? We need a touch of the Master's hand about us. I need a touch from the Master. I need a touch in my life. I need a touch in my body. I need a touch for ministry. We need the touch of the Master's hand. This word touch is a word, haptomai. And it means to attach oneself to another. To attach oneself to a thing. In other words, they wanted Jesus, as it were, to attach himself to this man. Not just to say, there you are, there's a wee tap for you. Lord, will you attach, as it were, touch him. Lay hold on him. Touch this man. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring him a blind man unto him, bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. Jesus, we're told in verse 3, notice this. He took the blind man by the hand. Isn't that lovely? They're coming and this man is completely blind. His eyes are probably raw. A lot of them had blindness where their eyes were filled with maybe pus. They were a terrible sight, swollen, diseased. And Jesus could have come up and went, there you are, you'll be better in the morning. But Jesus came to this man, and he took him by the hand, and he brought him with him. Led him by the hand. I thought that was beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. The tender touch of Christ. If we notice here, it says, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. Will you turn with me, please, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8 as well. I'll get a drink while you're turning. So in Mark's Gospel 8:22, it says, and he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, please. Verse 1 says, and when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. Clean. Notice that I will be thou clean. And immediately, notice the word immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. Now that's in Matthew 8. In Mark chapter 8, the man has a progressive healing. He sees men as trees walking and Jesus ministers yet again. And sometimes when the Lord heals you, you find there's a progressive healing. Others you might find they immediately receive a healing. But nevertheless, notice this. This man in Matthew chapter 8, he was a leper. And Jesus touched him. Now, I have to say, I love Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And I read him on this and I disagree with him. Sorry, but I do. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, Jesus broke the law of God here in order for grace to be known. I disagree 100%. Because it was against the law to touch a leper. Remember a few years back, you had to stand 6 feet away, 2 meters. Remember all that? Everybody was a leper. You weren't allowed to touch each other. No shaking of hands. And you remember that? You know, wash your hands if you've been near anything or anyone, everywhere you went. It's crazy. Well, here in the scriptures, they were to stay apart. And Jesus, if he touched the leper, he was breaking God's law. And you can read about the law of the leper in Leviticus chapter 13 and chapter 14. And you read that when you get a chance, and you'll see how they had to go to the priest. Remember the 10 lepers were cleansed, and he says, now go show yourselves unto the priest. Christ was fulfilling the law. And so he says, now the law says you have to go and show yourself to your priests. And they will pronounce you whether you're cleansed or you're still leprous. 9, they all go, 9 keep going, and 1 returns to give thanks. Well, here again, Jesus didn't break the law. I'm going to show it to you because it's in the manner of the Greek text that matters to prove that he didn't break the law. I don't know why Spurgeon said this on this issue. Notice what it says here in verse 3, And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy left him. So the way it looks as if Jesus put his hand on him, that's you clean. And so Spurgeon says he broke the law to show forth grace. Grace is not the opposite of law. Grace is not the opposite of law. Do you know what the opposite of law is? Lawlessness. You drive up the road there and the police are sitting at that side and you're in the 30-mile-an-hour zone. And you don't do it like, but if you're flying by at 60, 70 miles an hour in a 30-mile-an-hour zone and the cops fly behind you, pull you in, they'll say, you've been speeding. You're doing a 60-mile-an-hour in a 30-mile-an-hour zone. You'll say, I'm under grace. It says, no, you're lawless. But if he lets you off because you had such an emergency or something, that's grace. But you were lawless. So Jesus couldn't for one break any law of God, and or else he'd be lawless. It's nothing to do with grace. Here Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Turn with me to Mark 1, Mark chapter 1. You got a Bible study this morning. I think you're getting another one tonight. I didn't mean to go into all this, but while we're here, Mark chapter 1, please. Let your eye run down the chapter. Let's just go to verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, and put forth his hand and touched him, saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. Now in the order of the Greek text here, Jesus didn't break the law, the Levitical law here, when he touched the leper. Jesus didn't touch the leper to cleanse the leper. I want you to get this. He did not touch the leper to cleanse the leper. I don't want to go too far into it because you have to really think about it. But in the original meaning or behind the Greek text was Jesus spoke the word first. The leper was cleansed as Jesus puts his hand out. And he's already cleansed and Jesus touches him. Then why did he touch him? Jesus touched him to show him and the people around them that the leper was clean. He done it to show that the leper was clean. Jesus could have just spoke the word and walked away. But he came in that lovely compassion. As he speaks, his word enters, cleanses the leper, and in an instant he's touching. And the touch was, see everyone, this man has no leprosy. Sure, isn't it marvelous? Whenever we get saved, we have the leprosy of sin about us. That the word of God enters our hearts and we know the touch of a master's hand. And from then on, he says, see, this man is no longer the sinner that he was. The leprosy of sin is cleansed. Notice, if you will, and let's go on a little further in this. In Matthew 8, please. We're going to hang around here just for a few moments. Matthew chapter 8. So he touches and cleanses the leper. And then again, in verse 7. Let's go to verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum. Now this is right beside Bethsaida around the same area. There came unto him a centurion beseeching him. And saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy. Grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. Now take note. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say unto this man, go, and he goeth; to another, come, and he cometh; and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and a gnashing of teeth. Jesus is saying the Jews are rejecting him. He's saying, but there are going to be those like the centurion who will be accepting of him. But notice what it says. It says, the centurion says, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Speak the word only. You see, in Psalm 107 and in verse 20, it says of the Lord, and he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. He sent his word. Can I bring you back, believer, to the day and hour when you were saved? Can I bring you back to the day and hour that you heard the word of God? When the word of God was sent to your heart? You know, men like myself as preachers, we're to preach the gospel to every creature, so to speak. And I don't know what heart and what ear is receiving or hearing or listening even. But God directs his own word to the heart. It is my job just to give it. And God directs it like an arrow to the heart. And he sent his word and healed them. There's healing in the word of God. There's salvation in the word of God. There's restoration in the word of God. There's blessing in the word of God. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from destruction. God saves lives that are bound for destruction. God saves lives through his word that are bound to destruction. And so this man, this centurion says, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. If you hear anything from God tonight, whatever the issue is, if you hear anything that resonates with you, a directed word from the Holy Spirit tonight, not from the man, from the Spirit of God tonight, then that word is able to meet your need. That word is able to turn you inside out, around the right way. That word is able to change your life. That word is able to save the soul. That word is able to heal the body. I know maybe nearly everyone knows this, but I want to say it just for there might be one who will hear it. When Allison was really ill with ME, I mean, terribly ill with it. I see me having to carry her out of church. In fact, Pastor Michael Bunding and myself carried her out quite a few times out of the meeting. Just collapsed with it. You couldn't have brought her around, couldn't have lifted her. She was like a rag doll. Had to feed her sometimes. Come here up, love, a wee minute and tell us. Come on up. Come here. Come on. Tell us about the morning you were healed. I think this is important. This was unplanned, as you can see.
Okay, so as Ken was saying, whenever I was that ill, I really couldn't do anything, and Ken had to feed me. He had to step up and do quite a lot of things that, as a husband, he wasn't probably prepared to do or had thought about doing. because we were only maybe a year married and in our marriage, and the Lord has a lovely sense of humor, you know, because Ken thought he was getting the younger model, and she was a faulty younger model, wasn't she, dear? So yeah, she was an old doll, and he did. He had to care for me, had to look after me, had to dress me. And, you know, Ken and I believed in God's word and knew that God had said that, you know, in a scripture there would be healing. And we went to the elders, and the pastor of the church got anointed with oil, and nothing happened, absolutely nothing. Ken fasted and prayed for me and anointed me with oil, and still nothing happened. We went to healing meetings. Pastor McConnell had healing meetings every Tuesday morning in Whitewell. And we went there and nothing happened. But the Lord gave me a verse of scripture in Isaiah, and I'll not read it for time. But it said that I will renew you, and I would renew my strength. And I stood on that scripture and I believed the Lord. So every Sunday morning, and this is just to encourage you, if you're sick and you're struggling, get to your breaking of bread service. It is the most important. That's where you meet with the Lord. That's where you come fresh before him. That's when you remember him. And I would save my strength to go, and it was just one ordinary Sunday morning. I had gone as I could with the strength that the Lord had gave me, but I saved my strength for the Sunday morning, and I went. And we came around the breaking of bread, and Pastor McConnell started to sing, "Be still and know that I am God." And he says, if you're here with a need, I want you to stand up and to reach out to the Lord. Now, like, I hated people knowing that there was something wrong with me, you know. And Whitewell was a church of 3,000, and it was stand up and reach out. And, you know, I had to do what the woman with the issue of blood had to do. She had to go into the crowd, which was against the law. We were talking about the law. She was breaking the law to reach out and touch anybody because she had an issue of blood. But that's what she done. And when she did, she reached out and touched the hem of the Lord's garment. And the scripture says, virtue left him and she was made perfectly whole. Well, that's what I would explain happened to me. As we started to sing the second verse of that, which is, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Well, I felt the rhema word of God. I had heard that before, but I felt it in my heart. This was completely different. I knew the Lord had touched me. I felt a heat come out over me like a hot oil. And to be honest, I actually thought Ken had got up and put his hand on my shoulder, because I could feel like somebody had put their hand on my shoulder. I knew I had been touched. Something different had happened to me. And Pastor McConnell always said, give it 3 days. In 3 days' time, come back and tell me. Now, look, you heard Ken saying he was physically having to carry me up the stairs, having to feed me, having to help me get dressed. See, in them 3 days, I was made perfectly whole, touched.
So here's why I got her to tell you, because she can tell you better than I could ever tell you. And the Lord touched her. And remember looking out the back of my Mount Vernon apartment and looking up toward the Cave Hill. And she says, I want to climb that, the top of that. It's a bit of a run if you're just an able body. And I didn't want to quench any faith. I says, then let's do it. And she went the whole way to the top of the Cave Hill and back down again. And from then on, we went to Romania with missionaries. We went to pastored in Dublin for 5 years. And she's been with me through 8.5 years in the Elam. And then from here, we're here coming 8 years here. And she's been by my side, she's served, she's labored for the Lord the way through. And that's not about her or about me. It's about the Lord, the change in her, what God can do. And I'm saying this evening because maybe you're the one who needs that. Let's stand for a moment. Let's stand for a moment. Let's reach out to the Lord where we are ourselves. And let's sing what Alison said we were singing. Be still and know. This evening, and you're here in God's house, in God's presence, it might seem a little thing for what you need God to help you with, but God can meet every single need, great and small, and even that which is small to you, and maybe it's small to others. God knows every intricate detail of it, and He can do exceeding and abundantly above all any of us could ever ask or think. And I know this is a different meeting this evening, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to really reach out to the Lord. I want you to reach out and say, Lord, I'm here. Listen, I have a need. I'll not go into it. I'm struggling with something physical at the minute, and I'm needing a touch from the Lord. You maybe have something and you need a touch. I need God to speak to me and touch me. So I'm going to reach out and I'm going to worship Him. And I'm going to tell Him that I love Him, trusting in Him. Listen, He can just speak the word, the word of God. He says to the man, I will be thou clean. And He touched him, but he was already clean before the touch came. And you can be already clean, as it were. You can have your need met tonight in the Lord, even before you realize there's been a touch in your life. Let's sing it again. Be still. one more time then.
Reach up, touch the Lord.
We need you, Lord.
Lord, touch your people tonight.
Our seats. Worship you, Lord. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And then again in Matthew chapter 8, please. Letting your eye run down the chapter again, of course, for time's sake. Verse 14. This is in Capernaum. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. Notice, he touched her hand. Something beautiful about this. It doesn't have to be. People look for the great excitement. People try and work up and stir up and make up as if they're trying to move the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. He doesn't be moved. He moves in sovereign ways when he is ready. Jesus goes in to Simon Peter's mother-in-law's house. He takes her by the hand. And when he takes her by the hand, she becomes well again. The wonderful thing that we look at here is that she gets up and she ministers unto the Lord. I was praying with people at a prayer meeting one time. It was a prayer line. And there's a lady there and we prayed for her and she went away, nothing great and spectacular. And next thing she came back and she was from the Free Presbyterian Church. And she wasn't going to come at all and her husband asked her to come. And she came and it ended up nothing spectacular. In fact, when I prayed, I thought it was like praying. And I don't mean this in a bad way, but it was just, it felt cold or unbelief or hardened. And nevertheless, I prayed for her and off she went. She came back the next week, healed from being sick for years. Totally healed. Bedridden much of her days. On all sorts of medication. Hadn't taken it again. Didn't need it anymore. The master had touched her. And in such a gentle but most powerful way, he lifted her from her sickness. That woman is Sharon Hull. That woman's Sharon Hull who comes to our assembly. That woman has testified of God's healing power all over the place and what he's done for her. There was a lady sitting, say if this was the block, sitting down around here where Sarah would be. She didn't get up and nobody prayed for her. And I was walking through the village and this woman's out walking like this. With all the gear on, you know, all that fancy walking gear. I don't think what's wrong with a pair of jeans, a pair of trainers like, but everybody likes to wear their spandex or leotards. I don't know what you call them, just call them leotards. Not leotard when you're walking, yeah. Pastor Glenn, don't you be doing that. I've already done it. And she came up to me and she says, look. And I went, wonderful. I thought you'd show me your gear. she was wearing. And I went, okay, what? She says, I was in that meeting the other night when you were praying for the sick. I says, and what happened? She says, I wanted to get up, but I was afraid, and I didn't. I was told it didn't work, and it's not really of God. And I didn't because I go to another denomination, I'll not mention it. And I says, right, and what do you want me to see then? She says, I could hardly get out of bed for the last 10 years. And I sat there and says, here where I'm sitting in my seat, Lord, you're the same God, will you touch me here in your presence? He sent forth his word and he healed her. Touch of the master's hand. Prayed for this woman and she went away and she came back and told me, the Lord has graciously healed me, and this is weeks later, and I've been doing so well, and then she came back about 6 months later and gave off to me. See, Simon Peter's mother-in-law ministered, didn't want it for any other reason, ministered unto Christ. She ministered to him because he had ministered to her. And this woman came absolutely furious at me. I says, well, what have I done? She says, remember you prayed and I got healed. She says, yes. She says, well, I've lost all my benefits. Angry at me for losing the benefits. Angry at me for the Lord healing her. Remember in Whitewell, a man came up and he says one time, listen, pray that the Lord helps me, not heals me. And I said, why? And this wasn't me, this is the other pastor. I'll not mention his name. And he says, why? He says, because I'll only lose my benefits. Simon Peter's mother-in-law was healed by the wonderful touch of the master's hand. And she got up and ministered unto him. She got up and gave herself to him. It's the difference. And so we see, he touched her hand and the fever left her and she arose and ministered unto him. So in verse 3 we see in Matthew chapter 8, we see the Lord touching this leper in Matthew chapter 8. Here's his will. If thou be willing, I will. His will showed his compassion. In verse 8, speak the word only and my servant will be healed. His word showed his character. What do you mean showed his character? That he's not just a man. You know, Jesus didn't begin at Bethlehem. Jesus, I was going to say when he was born there and that. Olsen tells me off every year. He wasn't born on Christmas Day, all right. Olsen's going to tell me off when I get home now. Will you stop doing that? He was probably conceived around Christmas time, if anything else. He was born around September time. Nevertheless, we find here his character is not that he was just born in a manger and that was his beginning. He is the Word of God, which was God and is with God, the Word of the Father, one with him in eternity past. That's his character. Speak the word only and thy servant shall be healed. And Jesus speaks the word, and his servant is healed. Shows his character. And he's not just a prophet, but he's Almighty God in flesh. In verse 15, he takes Simon Peter's mother-in-law by the hand, and the fever leaves her. That shows his warmth, his will, his word, his warmth. And that showed his care, his compassion, his character, and his care. In Matthew 8 and 17, this is why I'm bringing you here. Verse 17. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah, that is, the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. This is all healing. It is said by those who don't agree with healing for today. It is said, but everybody you pray with isn't healed. I know. I know that. But everybody I preach to isn't saved. But I keep on preaching. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And where does it say it? Isaiah 53. We all know this, I'm sure, almost off by heart. And that's your eye, if you're following, run down to verse 4, please. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. Now, do you see here, Matthew is relating to Isaiah 53. And as he's relating to Isaiah 53, he's saying, he healed all this sickness. All the sickness, and much more than we've spoke about tonight, he healed all of this, that it might be fulfilled, that Isaiah had said it. So it has to be about sickness. And when we go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21, verse 21, please. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. Maybe 2 Peter, I've got the wrong one, have I? I've got the wrong verse. Somebody can look it up for me. And Peter says, whose own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were, past tense, were healed. This is post-cross. So in Matthew 8, when he talks about our infirmities, it's the word asthenia. It means our feebleness and our weakness. Weakness of mind. Sometimes our mind's sick and our mind's weak. Sometimes we just can't cope with what we're looking at or going through. Jesus is there to help us with this, to heal us with this. Our depressions. Our feebleness, our weakness of mind and of body and of soul. And the word sicknesses is the word nosos, which means diseases. Every sickness. Isaiah says, with his stripes we are, looking to the cross. Peter, looking back, says, with his stripes we were. The cross is central to it. And coming up to the cross in Matthew 8, he says that it might be, the scripture might be fulfilled, which was said by Isaiah the prophet. He bore our infirmities and our sicknesses. So turn with me to Mark 8, please, so we'll run this to a close. Mark chapter 8. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. Why? Why not just heal him there? Why did he just not say to the blind man, you're healed? Why not do what he done, spit in his eyes and see, ask him what he saw? Why did he not? I thought about this, you know. Why out of town? It was thought by some that Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of Bethsaida, the house of fish, before he healed him, as he didn't want to gather attention and another multitude follow him looking help. That's what a lot of commentators say, and I don't agree with that either. Jesus went fishing for men. Jesus healed all the sick that were around him in Matthew 8. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out, Jesus says. So this is what I think. The Lord Jesus would heal this blind man. And he's done so many miracles in this region, as he's walked in water. He fed the multitude of 4,000 in the same chapter beforehand. He's already fed a great multitude. He's done all the teaching that we've read about. He taught them. He preached unto them. He's healed their sick. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf could hear, the dumb speak, the blind see, the lame walk. He does all of these things around that time, around that whole region. He walks upon the water. He walks along the seashore, yet he walks upon the water. And even when he goes to preach to them one time at the seashore, he gets into a boat because there's so many coming around him. And Peter pushes him a little bit offshore. And he preaches, and the boat becomes a pulpit. Why did he just not say, you know what, watch this, and walk out into the sea, and turn around to the crowd and start to preach to them, while standing upon the top of the sea? Sure, he walked out into the depths of the top. Why did he not do that? Well, I believe it's because Jesus wasn't a showman, for one thing. But I'll tell you why. Because faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Not hearing little soft soaping stories, but hearing the word. Faith can bring healing. Faith is what we are saved through. By grace you are saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. Jesus was not a showman, but he was saying, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Here's the thing, if you hear the word of God, we tell the unsaved, then tonight's the night you must get right with God. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. We tell the unsaved that, but what about the saved? When God sends the word, he spoke a word unto Jacob and it lighted upon Israel, it says. When God speaks a word unto the congregation and it lights upon a man, and he speaks it into the congregation and it lights upon a woman, someone in deep, dire need, someone with illness and sickness and disease, and someone in terrible ways and terrible dangers. And he says, here's the word of faith. Believe the word that the Holy Ghost wings to your heart tonight. And receive it. And God's word will not return unto him void, but will accomplish that whereunto the thing it was sent. God's word goes out and hunts out the heart and drags it home again. And I thank the Lord that every time my heart is away, the word of God hunts me out. The Spirit of God takes it and it latches onto my heart and it drags me home again. Heart to heart with Christ. Yes, he's fed even 4,000 of a multitude here. But I'll tell you why I think he takes them out of the town. Matthew 11, please. Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to close this in a moment. Matthew 11. Let's read from verse 20. Verse 20. Listen to the words of the Lord Jesus. Then began he to upbraid the cities. Notice this. Wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Jesus looks at these cities, or these towns, these villages, and he upbraids them. In other words, he gives a curse over them, as it were. the woes, and it wasn't, oh, woe, dear, love you. It gives the idea in the Greek text of, oh, woe is you. It's come at last upon you. That's the way it would read. That's the idea of this. And he upbraids them. He speaks to them because of the works that were done around them and because they didn't repent. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, where? Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at that day of judgment than for you. But thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. This house of fish, there was no fish in it. No more fishing for Jesus here. It was fished out. He had the disciples that were there. This man was possibly the last one before the woe came to Bethsaida. And what if you're the last one? What if you're the last one before the woe would come? And he takes him by the hand. And he leads him out of the town. This is when Jesus healed the man and cursed the village. All that I've done among you, and you still didn't repent. And oh, there's so much Christ has done among us. Done among our land and among our people and among our nation and among our families. Maybe done among your family and among your friends and even with yourself. He does so much, and yet there's still no repentance. Still no turning to him, still no yielding, still no receiving, still no believing, still no coming to him, still no pleading, no asking. We should be begging for forgiveness, the sinner should. Capernaum, along with Bethsaida, were blessed with the presence and the person and the power of God in Christ. They did not recognize the miracles done in their midst, neither did they repent and turn to God at their preaching of the word of God. And so in his grace and mercy, Jesus being done with Bethsaida, no more house of fish, there's nothing left, the fish here. He takes them by the hand and he leads them out of the city. And these are my closing remarks on this. I got this message walking around Hillsborough Forest with Allison and our wee pup. And as I'm walking through, all I could see, every now and again there's a tree had fell in the storm. Some of the trees were just pulled up by the roots and lying flat. Some of the trees had fell but leant against another and they'd sealed off the path. It's too dangerous to go that way. And all I could think of was this man who was led by the hand out of Bethsaida. And we're told in verse 24 of Matthew chapter 8. Pardon me, verse 23. And he took him by the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and he said, I see men as trees walking. And every time I looked, all these trees had come down. I said to Allison, look at that tree. Look at that one's leant over. That one's about to fall. I hope they can rescue this. And this is the way they were talking. It's maybe over a little bit. They could strengthen it and stuff like that. And I just stopped in the middle of the forest and I looked around and I says, Allison, this is like I see men as trees walking. And the scripture says, as a tree falleth, so it lies. When the tree falls, that's the end of it. That's the way, that's the finish of it. There's no more hope for it. That's all I could think walking around that forest park. And started getting this message together in my head. And I says, Allison, this reminds me of how the man that was blind saw men as trees walking. I see men as trees walking, he says in verse 24. And if you want to look at a tree, I haven't time to look at it. Read Psalm 1, the very first Psalm. Blessed is the man who walketh not after the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He starts going into what he would be like, and then it says about the man who keeps and loves the law of God, he'll be like a tree planted on Christian time to be planted, grounded firm. It's time as Christians, no messing around, no faffing about here. These days and hours that we live in, we need to be planted. The scripture says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of their God. Wonder why some Christians wonder why they're not flourishing in the Lord. Because you're not planted in the house of God. Planted in fellowship and in worship and in prayer and under the word of God and the teaching of the word. And they that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of their God. Do you know what Jude says? In the 13th verse of the one chapter of Jude, he mentions trees whose fruit are withered. Without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. You don't want to be a tree like that, do you? The word of God enters the heart for the healing. The word of God enters the spirit for the saving. The word of God enters the heart for the helping, for the changing, for the moving on the man and the moving on the woman. To ground them in the house of God. To ground them in the faith with brethren and sisters of like mind. Here's Allison's verse, one of her verses. She didn't mention it for time's sake. Isaiah 40, verse 31. And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as just before the group come up. Maybe you're here tonight and I know a lot of what's happening with our people. And I should do, I'm the pastor, but maybe there's things I don't know. But whether it is I want you to be encouraged tonight that the Word of God is able to enter the heart, the body, the mind, the spirit, and do what it will. The Word of God can enter and heal the worst of the worst that we think of diseases. You might say, I need a miracle. Well, you know what? We have a miracle working God. You might say, but I need a supernatural move. Well, I'm going to tell you, that which is supernatural to you and that which is supernatural to me is just absolutely natural to our God. So tonight, let's trust Him. And go home with hope in your heart and look into Him for everything. May God bless you tonight.